Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Chapter 15. A wonderful victory. When God led Israel out of Egypt, he took them by way of the sea, and not to the land of the Philistines, lest the people should see war, and be disheartened. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. When the Egyptians pursued them, and overtook them camping by the sea, he made a way of escape for them through the sea, and caused the sea to swallow up their enemies. The marvelous deliverance, together with the wonders wrought in Egypt, in order that they might be delivered, made it manifest that God was doing the work himself, and that human planning or skill had no place in it. This miraculous deliverance was calculated to strike the inhabitants of Canaan, and of the land to which they had to pass to get to it, with such terror that the Israelites could possess the land without being molested. On the shore of the Red Sea, after the people had passed over, and the Egyptians had been overthrown, Moses sang this inspired song. The people shall hear, and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of your arm they shall be as still as a stone, till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which you have purchased. You shall bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for yourself to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. All these things go to show that the Lord did not intend that the Israelites should do any fighting whatever. Indeed, this was plainly stated by Moses, when the spies returned, bringing word that the cities were great and strong, and inhabited by giants. At that time he said unto them, dread not, either be afraid of them. The Lord your God which goes before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you have seen how that the Lord your God bore you, as a man does bear his son. Moreover, the Lord promised to send hornets before them, which should drive out the hostile inhabitants, to make room for them. It is true that the children of Israel did do some hard fighting, but that was only because they did not believe the Lord, who went before them in the way, to search out a place for them to pitch their tents in, and to show them, by fire at night, and cloud by day, which way they should go. And their fighting was all to no purpose. It was wholly superfluous, and contributed nothing to the ultimate victory, and as we read in, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work you did in their days, in the times of old. How you drove out the heathen with your hand, and planted them. How you afflicted the people, and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, either did their own arm save them, but your right hand, and your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you had a favor unto them. After the children of Israel were settled in the land of Canaan, there were numerous instances of God's protecting care over them, showing that if they had only been steadfast in the faith which they exercised at times, he would have continued their victories until, according to his promise, the whole earth should be inhabited only by righteous people, for the victory of faith is righteousness. A notable proof of this is seen in the victory gained over the Midianites, who were oppressing them. The story will repay careful study, as it shows something of how faith works. Gideon had been chosen as the one through whom the deliverance should come. The Lord had given him the clearest evidence that he was to lead the people to victory, and this accounts for his confidence. The man who knows that he has received his commission from God, and that God is with him, can do all things. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Then to Gideon's question why they were allowed to be so oppressed by the Midianites, the Lord looked upon him, and said, go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the Midianites. Have not I sent you? What was this your might, of which the Lord spoke? It was not military skill, for he had none. At the time that the words were spoken, he was threshing his father's wheat, in an obscure place, to hide it from the Midianites, who were destroying all the sustenance of both man and beast. It is evident, therefore, that Gideon's might was his weakness and his obscurity, for his family was one of the poorest in the tribe of Manasseh, and he was the least in his father's house. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen, yeah, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. A weak man who has God with him is strong, even almighty. The weakest person, who knows that God is with him, is invincible. All the preparations for the deliverance of Israel from the Midianites emphasized the fact that divine power alone was to accomplish the work. 32,000 men had gathered at the call of Gideon, but the Lord said to him, "The people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him depart early from Mount Gilead.'" The result was that 22,000 men immediately went home, leaving only 10,000. This has a lesson for us. God wants people who are bold because of their confidence in him. Among the first of those who will have their part in the lake of fire are the fearful and unbelieving. In the conflict with the hosts of Satan, we are never to take our weakness into account, except to glory in it before God. Our weakness is our recommendation. But 10,000 men were too many for the Lord's purpose, and so the number was reduced to 300, a most insignificant army with which to do battle with the host of the Midianites, if the event depended on human might. God works according to method, however, and we are taught that victories of faith are not won by idleness and carelessness. Trust in God means alertness and the use of every faculty that he has given us. Mark how naturally the results came about through the simple and seemingly unnatural methods employed. Acting under the Lord's guidance, Gideon divided his 300 men into three bands of 100 each. In each man's right hand was a trumpet, and in his left a flaming torch concealed in a pitcher. In the darkness of the night they came to the edge of the camp of the Midianites, and at the blast of Gideon's trumpet they all blew with their trumpets, and shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" At the same time they broke the pitchers which they carried, and allowed the torches to shine out. The terrible din awoke the Midianites, who saw the 300 men with trumpets, clearly outlined against the darkness. But to their minds the 300 were multiplied indefinitely, for they would naturally think that each man blowing a trumpet, with a lamp in his left hand, was the leader of a company which might number thousands. So they were seized with a panic, and all the host ran, and cried, and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. Thus the victory was gained without a blow. But mark this, it was gained by men who were fearless and confident. They were strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. They were not frightened because appearances were against them. With the Lord as their leader, they were not afraid to go against a mighty host, armed only with what might seem children's toys. And now remember that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Always remember that the battle is not yours, but God's. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 15. It is against them that the hosts of sin are arrayed, and their assaults on us are really directed only against him. But the Lord is mighty, and on the cross he has already spoiled all the principalities and powers. Colossians 2 verses 14 to 15. With whom we have to contend, and our faith in him is the victory that has overcome the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5 verse 4, those who follow him go forth, conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6 verse 2, victory is theirs to begin with. There is no weakness of the flesh, no temptation of the devil, which may not be overcome by everyone who knows and trusts the Lord. For even in death itself, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8 verse 37. Thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.